You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by people just like you. I want to thank James W., Gainstoff, Boticus, Mr. Jones, and Alejandro B. for being amazing patrons, as well as everyone else who's supporting the show there. Starting at just $1 a month, you can get some awesome perks and support the show in the process. Go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone for more information. And by Humble Bundle, the best deals on the best games, ebooks, and software anywhere. Go to our show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, and your purchases there can support the show. Hello and welcome to episode 107 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. It is good to be here in a brand new year, brand new you. Maybe, I don't know if that's accurate or not. Hopefully you're still kicking it, being good and all of that. I have got a ringer of a guest for this show. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. I'm joined by 1600 Dust's Spivey. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? I'm really happy to be here.
I am so happy to have you. I'm thrilled. Have you had a good start to your year so far, man?
Yeah, I can't complain. 2018 is looking better and better every day.
I'm glad to hear that. I feel like there's always so much pressure around this time for it to look a certain way or to be on top of things. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but like I get behind like one day into it. Or so. Like we just took down Christmas decorations today. And Christmas was a while back, so...
I think we still have Christmas decorations in one of the bedrooms. Like, they're down, but they're still in a bedroom instead of a box.
It's like this long process, you know? You don't want to go too crazy or nothing. I don't know, but...
Do you do the real tree?
No. Thankfully, I was able to talk my wife out of that one.
Team fake tree.
Yeah. It's less pricey. It's pretty much fine. I mean, I feel like it's the people who grew up with the real trees who, like, they are so determined that, like, nope, if it's not a real tree, it's not Christmas.
The new ones, the new fakies are so cool, though, too. And
really
have you seen that the terrifying videos of, like, how fast an old Christmas tree, an old dry Christmas tree burns?
No. Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Don't YouTube that. I mean, I want to say it's something like 15 seconds.
Okay.
Like, there is, like, no reaction time. So please do not have dry Christmas trees in your homes.
I will definitely take your word on that.
PSA.
Well, regardless if it's been a rough start or whatever, it's good to have you on the show, man. I'm thankful to have you. I'm sure that we've got a lot of listeners who know you, but just in case they don't, can you tell us a little bit about the man behind the Spivey, how you got into Hearthstone and podcasting and all that?
Sure. It's actually kind of it's actually really interesting. So I have played collectible card games since I was, I think... It's at least 20 years.
Wow.
I mean, I think I picked up my first Magic card when I was 10, 11, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played Magic off and on over the years and then got into the competitive scene. I'm always regretful that I didn't get a chance to play the World of Warcraft card game.
Oh, yeah, me too, yeah.
That the art on that looks so great, and that was always a big thing with me and Magic, but... I played Magic, and I played a game that maybe someone might know called Magi Nation competitively for, like, a moment. It was, like, a flash in the pan, but that was really cool art. But I had a buddy who was telling me repeatedly, hey, you need to check out this Hearthstone game. You need to get into this beta. You're really going to like it, I think. And I'm like, I don't know. It looks a little cartoony. And I finally just pulled the trigger and downloaded it and got in the beta, and... I've been playing since, and I was really active in a Twitter community called Heavy Meta with Magic the Gathering, and mm-hmm. we would meet up in Las Vegas and Portland and whatnot every year and just meet our friends from the internet. So I made a friend named Chris Plummer through this community.
I've heard of this guy.
You've heard of this because he's my co-host. He's one of my co-hosts. It's Matt and Chris. And he approached me out of nowhere and was like, hey, he was doing a podcast called Playing for Cheaps, and it was a video game related podcast, picking up games on the cheap and being a patient gamer where you don't pay, you know, $60 for a brand new game. And I guessed it on there a couple times, and he was like, hey, I've got an idea for a show. I wanted to do a show about Hearthstone, because Hearthstone kept coming up on Playing for Cheaps. It's like they would say, what are you playing? And Hearthstone, Hearthstone, Hearthstone. So he's like, I want to do a show. And I was like, I'm down. And he's like, I want to do a 20-minute show. And I was like, okay, that's going to be tight. Like, let's do it. So we've been doing that ever since. So, I mean, right now I'm sitting in a position where I'm really close with Matt and Chris, but I met Chris, my best friend, through Twitter, and I met the love of my life, Ziggy Sarah, through Twitter. And so I don't condone going and meeting people through Twitter, because you never know. We were told don't talk to strangers when we were kids, but it kind of worked out well for
me.
It
turned out pretty good, I would say.
Yeah. I can't complain. So we've been doing 20-minute shows for the past, I mean, you know, I see you said the longest running Hearthstone podcast, maybe in duration, but I think we just crossed our third year of 1600 or so. And one of our most popular segments that we do every year, and we're going to be gearing up to be doing come about a month, probably after rotations. That would be rotations probably first week of April. Mm-hmm. So I think first week of May we'll be doing Know Your Role.
Nice.
Where we bring experts on a class, and they talk about the archetypes and how to win with that archetype and how to win against that archetype. Mm-hmm. So I've just been I guess I've become the community manager for the show, and I love interacting with people, whether it's on Twitter or in real life, and I'm all about building an extremely positive community around Hearthstone, because I've seen how toxic other gaming communities, not just card game communities, sure, but communities in general can just become, where it's just entitlement and frustration and anger and harassment. And 1600 is trying to build a foundation for something better than that.
And you guys certainly have. It's short selling to say you want that, because the truth is, like, through the podcast, through the streaming now with Ziggy Sarah, with all the open tournaments that you guys have done, I mean, you guys really have done a lot to just establish a really good core group over there of people who are doing this right. Because the truth is, that kind of toxicity is in all of us, right? I know it's in me, and like, we need one another. We need help. We need a community of people to really keep us on track of being the people we want to be, even in a card game world. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. There are definitely things I do not tweet that I'm feeling or thinking about Hearthstone. I just think to myself, is this going to improve people's moods or the community around me? And if the answer is no, it doesn't get tweeted.
Yeah. Probably a good sign at that point, but that's good. Tell us a little bit about, like, early days of Spivey Gaming. Like, how did you get into video gaming in the first place?
Ooh, like, ever?
Yeah, I'm interested, God. Man. Was it NES? Was it Super Nintendo? Like, what?
Oh, no.
Or was it something altogether different? I don't know.
It was definitely the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay.
As long as I can remember, we've had an NES. I was born in 85, and I think that's when the NES came out. So we probably had one when I was toddling around, and I've played games ever since. And I remember being asked by family members, like, oh, when are you going to grow out of that? And I'm like, really? I'm like, never. Why would I grow out of this? But my favorite all-time system, or my favorite system of all time, is the Super Nintendo, for sure. I have a Raspberry Pi, and it's got every single American released SNES game.
Nice.
And the SNES controller is perfect if you're not looking for joystick controls. I love those 16-bit graphics.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm such a sucker for 16-bit graphics in a Steam game, or, man.
I mean, 3D games are nice and everything, but when Super Mario RPG came out,
I love RPG.
There was just something about that, and Donkey Kong Country, like, just the graphic stuff that happened there, it just, like, it hits a chord in my heart, too, so I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one.
How good is the DKC music?
Oh, wow. We could do a whole podcast just about that.
I think that's what always, like, grabs me when I think about my favorite games. Like, my all-time favorite game is Final Fantasy VI.
Mm.
That was the first one I played, and, well, it wasn't the first, I played the original on NES, but it was the first one that really grabbed me.
Right.
And I can play that game all the time. Yeah. That's a good one.
I didn't get to play those ones, the Final Fantasies on Super Nintendo, but I've gotten into them more lately. So at some point, I'm sure I'm going to trick. Is the SNES Mini, that doesn't have Final Fantasy games on it, does it?
It does not. And actually, for America, if you ever wind up picking up an SNES or whatever, in America, it was Final Fantasy III, but it's officially six. Yeah. But you should if you find the time, you should pick this game up. Okay. Even if you're using like a walkthrough, you should play it. It's wonderful.
Just something. Well, that's
it's
good.
Just something.
I like it. Well, man, I'm a fan of the show. I mean, I'm hoping that sometime you'll have me on 1600 Dust. I mean, for those who haven't heard of it, I actually have been on the show. So, but it's a running joke
twice.
At this point. Yeah. So. But I'm really excited to have you on, man. Especially now that we got Kobolds like out and kicking, we got a brand new year. We got a lot to talk about here today, so this should be a good time.
Mm.
So we want to start out why we're happy, and I'm kind of going to hijack it because I've got actually a lot since we got the podcast Love with 1600 Dust. I've got a few others that I have to mention. I'm just kind of ecstatic, really, about just how much connection there's been lately. We'll talk more about that even later. But I got to hang out with my good friends over at Velen's Chosen and be on episode 122 with them. Many of you guys know I got my start podcasting with them and founding that show. So it's always a joy, like a bit of a homecoming to go hang out with them. So definitely go listen to that on your podcast app of choice or velenschosen.com. And I also want to shout out some friends of mine who have started Hearthstone Podcast in the past month. One of them is my good buddy Jordan, who reached out to me a few months ago, and we became fast friends. He had this idea for a Hearthstone podcast, which at first I was like, that seems a little redundant. But the more we started talking about it, the more I realized like there are so many Hearthstone podcasts out there that are good quality, worthy of your time. It really is a bit overwhelming. And so he and his buddy Kirk started a podcast called The Daring Reporter, which is all about reporting on every Hearthstone podcast that released an episode in the past week. And then they go on and talk about some of their stuff too, things that interest them. But it's really cool to kind of get a quick snapshot. If you like listening to a lot of podcasts but just don't have the time, it's great to check out to get sort of a Reader's Digest of everything that happened. Or if you're looking to add more Hearthstone podcasts to your repertoire, they've got all of them on there. So you'll hear about them all. And so just want to shout out to them. You can check it out again, The Daring Reporter. And my buddy Craig, who was on episode 104, I believe, of this show, we were talking about choosing decks and how that works. He got so inspired from our episode together, he went off and said, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing, which I was like, dude, go for it. So he started up a podcast called Into the Wild, which is all about specifically the wild format of Hearthstone. And Craig did a great job when he was on this show, so super proud of him for starting that up. You can follow him on his Twitter changed since that last episode, so it's Craig of Canada now. Because he actually does live in Canada. Big surprise. But definitely go check him out. Give those guys shout-outs and check out their stuff. Because just super proud of Jordan and Craig starting those up. And really good quality stuff so far from them. So
I really love it when that happens. I think we've been responsible for at least one of those two. Where we have someone on and they're like, I'm going to do my own.
Right. It feels great to give them a start. But you also like you listen to them saying, I think I can do this. You're like, yeah, you can. You proved yourself. We were just here. Like, that's all. Yep.
That's always really important to me is people think that doing podcasting or putting on a stream is some huge hurdle where there's just this barrier to entry. And you just need to get a mic, even if it's a really bad quality. Let me make sure it sounds good. But you can just get something that picks up your voice and read up on how to post these things to websites. You don't have to have your own website. You don't have to have – iTunes will take it. Stitcher will take it. I mean, whatever you do, just create content. People will enjoy it, give you feedback, and –
And you just have to do it, you know? Like, sometimes starting is the hardest thing because some of us are perfectionists who just want to have it perfect. You're never going to have it perfect. It's never going to feel I saw a quote the other day that for authors that was like, the book in your head will always be better than the book that you write. And that's just true of, like, any content you create. You always have this idea. But just doing it, getting it out there, connecting with people, like, that's really what matters. So Super proud of you guys. Go check them out again. The Daring Reporter and Into the Wild. Spivey, enough about me zoning out about all these other podcasts. So why are you happy today?
I just wanted to say I'm also my biggest critic. I mean,
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there are times when we finish an episode and I'll just tell Chris, I'll be like, that was crap. Mm-hmm. And Chris will be like, no, it was really good. And then we'll get feedback from other people and they'll be like, that episode was really good. And I'm just like, all right, well, I don't know what's good. Let's just keep doing what we're doing.
Right. I wouldn't have put it out on my own, but I'm glad I did, I guess.
But aside from being happy about that, I'm also – so it's GDQ week, which if you guys don't know, that's Games Done Quick.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Yeah, so it's Awesome Games Done Quick. And starting Sunday at the time of the recording – it's going all week where people are speedrunning video games from all platforms, consoles like Switch and Xbox and PlayStation, and they're going back to GameCube and NES. It's just a lot of fun to watch the practice and the expertise that people have running these games, doing these, you know, whether they're glitch related or glitchless, like just the skill. Mm-hmm. And the dedication it takes is just really inspiring. And they always raise a bunch of money, a ton of money for cancer prevention and whatnot. And mm-hmm. it's such a great thing to just put on any time of the day, whether you're getting ready for work or whether you're getting ready to go to bed or if your favorite game is on. They've got the schedule listed and everything so you can find, you know, if you have a favorite game that you want to see speed run.
And one of my favorite things is finding the games like I've never even heard of. Like mm-hmm. I remember, I'm pretty sure it was Games Done Quick. I was just tuning in, and they were playing like a Game Boy Advance Tails, like Sonic and Tails. Only it was just Tails, and it was like a platformer, and it was the funkiest game. But like this guy knows that game backwards and forwards, and knows these weird glitches. Like it was so.
God.
It was mind-blowing to me that, like, this guy is a pro in this game that, like, no one even knows exists, you know? And it was actually entertaining to watch him, like, okay, if you, like, flip backwards into this one pixel, then you'll just, you know, transition three worlds ahead or something. It's just, it is absolutely mind-blowing.
If I had those abilities, I would put it on my Tinder profile if I were the game. Like,
that'll show him what you really value.
Just be like, I'm a duck hunt speedrunner.
Deal with it. You know you like it.
At me. I think in addition to that, I am extremely excited and really pleased about United Hearthstone League.
United Hearthstone League? I've heard of this.
Oh, yeah, you have?
Oh, and I think it's a perfect segue into our news chat. Because United Hearthstone League, it's funny, it was announced after we recorded our last episode. So this hasn't even been out in the wild enough for me to talk about it. But Spivey, why don't you give us a rundown of what the United Hearthstone League is all about?
Well, Ferris Biscuit on Twitter is a great, great friend of the show. And he's the mastermind behind the 1600 Dust Opens.
Right.
So he wanted to put those on hold and create this UHL. And what we're going to be doing is he approached podcasters and streamers for the inaugural season. And it's going to be a tournament structure where we face off round robin one by one. It's eight players and there's going to be playoffs. And I think it's going to go 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. The interesting part about it is that he required, as part of the format, you submit three classes, but there's no ban, and you have to play through all nine classes before you can play the class you already played. Mm. So you have to go through all nine before, like if you play Warlock week one, you can't play Warlock again until week four. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. It kind of lends this whole strategy behind it. And I submitted my classes today. I can announce this because we had him on the show yesterday. I play Chris this week. The rest of the schedule will be available Monday.
So how do you feel? I mean, we haven't talked about who's in the league, but I know you and Chris are having to spar it out right off the bat. Does that feel a little bit like Benedict Arnold or something? Like one of you has to come out on top. I mean,
so. Ferris is actually lovingly calling this the Dust Bowl. And he says it was random, but I don't know if it was random. And we're actually, so I'm pleased to announce on your show that we're going to be, people already knew we were going to be streaming mm-hmm. our match. But even better, it looks like we're going to be streaming the match, and Ziggy, Sarah, and Matuna are actually going to be shoutcasting it.
Oh, dang. That's like the ultimate 1600 dust bout.
So all four of us are coming together, and we're going to be doing this match on Friday night.
Oh, dude, I will definitely be there. That is going to be a lot of fun to watch and listen to.
Man. I'm really happy that we're doing it this way because I didn't want to stream it on my machine and have to put a delay.
Right.
Because I hate streaming and not being able to interact with chat.
Right.
So I'm really pleased that we can have the shoutcasters and we're going to have them in another room. And then Chris and I are going to be facing off against each other physically on our laptops, probably talking all sorts of smack, which won't be picked up by the microphones or anything, unless he finds a way to mic us up, which he might, and we can listen in.
It'd be funny, like, if they did it like they do on football, where they've, like, got mics there, and every now and then they're like, hey, let's look at what they're saying on the bench or something, because I would love it when Ziggy can, like, tell, oh, wait a minute, oh, wait, we need to cut over to Chris and... You jerk! I can't believe you're dead!
I mean, Chris and I are pretty chill. I don't know if it would go that far.
I don't think you would.
I'm sure there'll be some colorful language because we rub on each other pretty hard.
Oh, man. Well, that's going to be a blast. So Friday night, Ziggy's channel, I assume?
No, it'll be the 1600 Dust channel.
1600 Dust channel. Perfect.
Yep, okay. And it'll be 8 p.m. Pacific is what we're shooting for right now.
Well, that'll be really exciting. Well, we do have to talk the rest of this roster, too, because when we say, you know, all these people. So we got Chris and Spivey. Ziggy also is from 1600 Dust, is going to be a part of this league. We got Ridiculous Hat from Coin Concede, who's been on the show. Ben from Dad Legend, my good friend. Rod from Tier 5. Man, well, actually, Rod and Ben were like the DreamHack Denver match made in heaven. That was just, we just had a blast up there. We got Versica from Hero Power, who absolutely terrifies me, even after listening to some of his thoughts and strategies on their last episode. And then I'm going to be putting my hat in the ring as well. And Spivey, actually, you told me like that there was this mysterious project going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. Do you remember this? Like, you were like, "Hey, I kind of put your name in, and I'm excited about this thing, but I can't tell you about it."
I do remember because this has been in the works for months.
It really has. Like, Ferris Biscuit has been killing it, and I'm super excited to be a part of this to see what happens from it. I think it's great to bring all these communities together, and I'm looking forward to throwing down. I'm hoping that I can at least be somewhat competitive, but it's going to be fun regardless of how they go.
Yeah, this roster is stacked, and I can say that I will not be surprised if it is opened up to more contenders for future seasons.
Absolutely.
So if this is something you're interested in, make sure to follow I think it's United HS League on Twitter.
That's
and
right. Uh-huh.
Let them know you're interested for future.
Yeah, and UnitedHearthstoneLeague.com. So the streams will kind of be a bit helter-skelter. It's kind of whenever the matches are able to be scheduled for those two competitors and if they're able to stream. I'm going to do my best to stream them. I think that Biscuit also mentioned he's going to try and upload them to YouTube. So just be sure to follow me and Spivey and the league on Twitter. We're retweeting them like crazy because we're all excited about this thing. So can't miss it if you're at least somewhere in that whole community. So.
And I'm also available to shoutcast your match if you don't want to be on a delay. Mm. So we can all work together and do it that way if that makes things easier.
Yeah, I'm actually going up against Ziggy herself this week. So so that would probably be a perfect one for you to be a part of there, man.
Oh, man, I wonder if I can get Chris or Matt to do it with me too.
Oh, that would be even better. We'll see, but we'll definitely be talking. So we'll figure it out. That'll be fun. And news on the Blizzard front is a bit light. I mean, Cobalts and Catacombs is out, and that's really the big news. Some of you probably noticed that they were having some issues with quests right at the beginning of the release of the expansion, and they have made that right in a big way. They have just given everyone three free packs in their client, three free Cobalts packs, which That's just a generous move, and I'm always appreciative when they do this to kind of make it right, but we certainly don't deserve anything. It's their game. So if you haven't gotten those yet, be sure to get into your Battle.net client, click the little gift icon in the top right-hand corner, claim the packs, and then when you log in, they'll be waiting for you. Did you get anything nice out of these, Spivey?
I don't recall. I think I might have pulled an epic, but I'm glad that you brought up that they needed to go claim the gift, because it won't just pop up like some of the other ones. It seems like Blizzard is pretty exclusively trying to push the gift system.
Right, which is pretty nice. I mean, we had the
we had the
insane gift exchange over the past month that Daniel from Blizzlet started. These gift packs, they seem to have a higher rate of return. It seems like a lot of people are getting stuff out of them. I don't think I
got
anything.
What did you get? You didn't get anything either?
I didn't out of these, but the gift packs that people were sending around, I can't even remember what that was called. Daniel, it was kind of a pay it forward thing that he was doing. I got a few, like two packs from those, and I didn't get less than one of those packs having like an epic in it or a gold or something. Like, I never got two packs of just straight dust, basically. So that kind of surprised me. It was like, okay, there's a little sum going on, but these three packs were just more of the same, which extra dust that I will throw towards something that I really like, which is good.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about my crafts, but I won't talk about them because you're a competitor. you're an opponent in this league.
Dude, it's getting a little cutthroat. but I will not confirm that I was talking with Wicked Good right before this about peeping on Ziggy Sarah's stream to make sure that I know what she's been up to. So,
let me tell you that if you watch her stream to get an idea, it's not going to help you.
Oh, dang it.
I promise, man. That she's already mentioned to me that what she shows on her stream is not indicative of what she's potentially bringing.
I knew I couldn't ride on it completely, but it was like, maybe it'll give us a... But she's playing it well.
Cookie. She's the smart cookie.
It's a mind game as well as a card game.
The first week is so hard, right? Uh-huh. Like, I've been sitting here trying to figure it out. Like, I think the third week will be easier. Because you won't get to choose your classes, but you at least get to know what your opponent is. Right. So the first week is so tough. I mean, do you bring all of the three like worst meta decks? Do you bring the classes, or do you bring the three best? Do you even it out? I've been stressing about that.
Well, I don't know about you, but like I also have this. I tweeted out the other day that I was bloodthirsty coming up with these decks, because it's like I don't want to lose. I really don't mind, because this is just for fun. But
how many memes are in there?
In this first one, well, I'm bringing one class that's a meme, so I think that counts. And the rest of them, I have to go back and check. I think I've got.
I can
one.
Tell you, we all submitted our classes today, right?
Right.
I can tell you my classes. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm bringing. I decided to kind of even it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm bringing Paladin, Mage, Shaman. I kind of really want to get Shaman over with.
I feel you on that.
So, and it turns out that Chris is also bringing Shaman, so he might have the same mentality.
Well, and because this is Conquest style, you have to win with all three decks. So this was the really hard thing about me working memes into these decks, is like I still have to be able to win with that meme potentially, you know? Like I can't just throw in Benedictus because it's fun, you know? Like, although who knows, Rod might from Tier 5, but we'll see. He makes our car work somehow. But I need to go back and look at what I did. But I'm also doing Shaman this week. I actually found a Shaman list that I'm actually really excited about. I've been testing it on the ladder, and I think it's not too much of a meme, but we'll see.
What kind of list is this? Because I was messing around today with Elemental Shaman, which I don't know if it's good.
It's weird to me that Elemental Shaman's never worked, because it's always seemed like it should be really powerful. Like, all of the tools seem to be there, but then you just try, and I don't know, it always falls flat for me, it seems.
Yeah, I wish it worked, and I was trying to verify independently that it does not work. So there's still, I mean, I'm okay with talking about it, because there's still a chance I'll bring it. There's still a chance I'll bring... you know, token shaman, or I guess aggro shamans floating around. Yeah. And then I could just go completely off the rails and And we've grab control.
Right, we've submitted our classes, but we can change the deck list up until the moment. So,
yep.
I will revisit, and I am committed to at least throwing one card that throws everything out the window. So we'll... Because it wouldn't
a monkey wrench,
yes, something like that. But it should be really fun. I'm excited to see how the league goes.
Me too.
All right, well, we want to take a quick second to thank our sponsors for this episode, which is Humble Bundle. Spivey, have you ever played around with Humble Bundles before?
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, I've basically gotten my entire Steam library through them, which is a bit extensive.
That's okay. That's actually true. I think I'm closing on 400 games on Steam, and I have probably played less than 10% of them.
Yes, which is a problem at some point. It's like, okay, I could keep getting good games, but if I'm not going to play them, is it really a good idea for me to have them?
There's something so satisfying about owning them, though.
It feels good. It does.
It does feel, and you get them at such a great deal.
Yeah. The thing with Humble Bundles, if you've never seen, you go and you pay whatever you want. And different tiers will get you so many games. And these are really top tier games. Right now, there's one out there that has BioShock Infinite with it, which
I love that game.
Yeah, if you haven't played that, like, what are you doing with your life? That's so great. Good. But they've got a lot of other ones that aren't as well known. I know Beholder is in that same pack, and I think that's from the creators of like World of Goo and stuff like that. There's just all sorts of really good stuff. And the cool thing is from the beginning, you've been able to tell your purchase where the money goes. So some of it goes to charity, some of it goes to the developers, others goes, to the Humble website and stuff. And I'm really excited that as the Happy Hearthstone, we've been able to partner with them so that we can help promote their bundles. And then you can donate to the show when you purchase any of their bundles. So you can go and get yourself some great PC games. They've also got right now they've got an ebook bundle that's a bunch of how to get in shape physically, mentally, dieting ebooks. They have software developer kits and stuff. There's just a ton of ridiculous stuff to check out.
I've definitely bought a comic book bundle on there for The Boys. The Boys.
The Boys.
It's a brutal comic series. It's kind of like these guys who deal with superheroes and they're not superheroes. It's
really
good. Yeah, it's definitely mature though.
Well, right now I see they've got actually a Judge Dredd bundle. So
that's probably really good too.
And there's a ton of stuff on there. So definitely check this stuff out. You can support the show while you make those purchases. If you go to thehappyhearthstone.com and check out episode 107's show notes, or you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew's Living. I'm trying to throw out some tweets every now and then because, I mean, I'm really excited about this partnership because they just do so much quality stuff. It's really a no-brainer. So definitely go and check them out and support the show in the process. All right. Well, Spivey, we've got a main topic here that you cooked up, and I'm a little bit jacked about this because we're going to go deep into the mental game of Hearthstone with this, I think, with a very seemingly innocuous question.
Yeah, this is something. So luckily I haven't bounced it off of Chris because this is something I've been thinking about for many weeks about wanting to talk about on my show.
Chris, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Okay, so I want to preface this with in many card games during certain metagames, a lot of times there is a definitive turn. Mm-hmm. When I was playing Magic the Gathering competitively and I left, the definitive turn was 4. You either played something huge that started to snowball, like not necessarily in size, but just in power level. And it can either take control of the game if it can't be answered, or if your opponent manages to answer it, maybe you stave off what they were trying to do for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit harder to develop that idea in Hearthstone because there are 9 classes. I mean, in Magic the Gathering, you have 5 colors, but all the colors kind of behave pretty similarly, whereas in Hearthstone, you know, it's very clear-cut by Blizzard for the most part that this class gets these kind of cards and this identity, and so they all kind of play a little bit differently. And, of course, we've got RNG.
Mm-hmm. Always.
But our good friend. One of the other... Right. Yeah, our best friend... Most of the time.
Sometimes.
Better lucky than good.
That's right.
So on top of this, and it's kind of, it's not part of the question about, you know, what is the best turn or the most important turn of a game, but one of the reasons that this question was sparked was a lot of pros, and Rained most recently that sticks out of my mind has brought the issue of patches up again in the metagame, and that the issue, like, how weird is it that we had Gadget Zan come out? I remember being at that BlizzCon and seeing patches revealed and just thinking to myself, like, it's a 1-1 charge, like, who cares?
Right.
Right? But it just, it messes everything up. I mean, in a perfect, in a boring, perfect world, you know, where there's no card abilities and no spells, you know, turn one, you play a 1-1 minion. Turn two, you play a 2-2 minion. Turn three, you play a 3-3 minion, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. What patches does is it really busts this idea wide open where you, on turn one, and Rained goes into depth about this, turn one, you get to play a South Sea Deckhand or a Swashburglar, and that's fine. But now patches comes out. So now you've got either a 3-2 across two bodies for one mana or a 2-2 across two bodies for one mana. Mm-hmm. And even worse is that pivotal turn three or turn two with a coin, which is even worse feeling, is South Sea Captain coming down. And now you have 5-5 across two bodies for three or two mana.
It's nasty.
It's bad. So those are kind of ideas. Like, it wouldn't be the turn one, but Rained outlined during this video where he was calling for a change to patches that, in his opinion, the best decks, the decks at the top of the heap, are the ones doing the strongest things in the first three turns of the game. And that coincides with patches. Like, that's why the example was, that's why I wanted to use that example, because it just goes one, you know, either nothing or past turn, and then two, maybe a dagger if you're playing rogue, or maybe you've gained some tempo with a backstab, and then turn three with South Sea Captain, and you just kind of snowball your board from there. So I was kind of, I've been curious about whether or not, and so we're going to kind of explore it on the fly in the moment on your show, but I've been kind of curious if there is a turn four idea, like in Magic the Gathering, with that meta in our current meta. And I don't know if it's something later in the game. It may just vary across every single class because, you know, this meta is very swingy.
Yeah.
Very, very swingy.
And the big thing I was thinking is that it's so dependent on the kind of game that you're trying to play because, I mean, the Face Hunter wants you dead immediately, you know, and Control Warlock, my goodness, that I've been beating my head against a wall running up into over and over again. Like, they want the game to go on forever because they will win eventually. You know, they will outlast you. So it's like, it seems that those are the two extremities, and somewhere in the middle are most games, you know. But depending on whether you're really trying to play aggressively, you're trying to outvalue your opponent, you're trying to get the combo pieces together, or you're really trying to get to the late game, there are still those pivotal times where what you do is of vital importance. I think that especially in Arena, this is absolutely true. You know, like turns three and four, I think, are so so vital to what the rest of the game is going to look like.
Exactly. So I didn't know if there was a way to figure that out for the rest of the classes. And that's why I haven't brought the idea up on the show yet. But that's why I was happy to do it here.
The good news is we have longer than 20 minutes. In fact, we've already surpassed 20 minutes. So
wait, what do I do?
Exactly.
This is uncharted territory, Andrew.
We'll figure it out together. We will feel our way through the dark. But yeah, so I think that in Arena, you know, you still can draft, you know, aggressive decks and control-oriented decks, but regardless, you're on a much more level playing field, and you're still choosing cards based off of how valuable they are rather than, hey, is this exactly the card I need, you know? You can't do a lot of synergy. You just have to pick the best value card in there. So I would really say that, especially in those games, it's somewhere... Maybe three's a little bit early, but I think it's like the 4 to 6 range where that's kind of like...
It's pivotal.
Like, you can still swing the game. It doesn't, you know, decide the game unless you're really aggressive. But those are the turns where you're determining what the rest of the game can look like or will look like if you don't have any big swing cards or something like that.
And I see, you know, we put some very specific examples down for certain decks in the show notes, and I can see some of those. And one of the things that I constantly think about in order to be a better player is, aside from tempo decks, a lot of the times your decision tree with your turn begins with, do I further my own board or do I stop my opponent from furthering theirs?
Right.
So it's kind of either, do I use removal to kill something or do I play another minion? And so I think that's why we're sitting in this meta right now where Tempo Rogue is kind of king because they get to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always...
You know, I think about like the ultimate tempo cards like Implosion, where you got to take something away from your opponent and develop your board at the same time. Those kinds of cards can almost determine a bet on their own practically. But when a deck like Tempo Rogue can do so much of that stuff, you know, you can Vile Spline something, which that really is even a better Implosion in a lot of ways. And then, you know, Bone Mare the next turn or the turn after that. I mean, there's just a lot that can happen. So it's like this balance, because both of you, if you don't know what your deck is trying to do, you're not going to play it well, you know. And as I was thinking through some of these decks and like what's prevalent on the ladder right now, like I was thinking, like, as I'm piloting these decks, I really am thinking like, I need to make X happen by turn X. Or like if I can do that, I should be good, you know. Since we're already talking about Tempo Rogue, I can't believe I forgot this, but it's the really duh thing. Like if you get Kel'Seth on two, you're doing pretty good, you know. Like if you can, you don't have a lot of control over that happening, but like that's huge. If you can get Kel'Seth out on two, the rest of the game, your minions are almost guaranteed to be better value than theirs.
Yeah, and even these days, even if you don't get Kel'Seth on two, having Kel'Seth at any point in the game and having the, I'm not going to remember the name of the card, but it's the Bard that lets you bring two minions into your hand. Yeah, the Minstrel. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, it's rogue tutoring almost.
Yeah, which is...
very close.
I'm a bit embarrassed that I didn't see that being extremely powerful. The thing was, like, Tempo Rogue before, it didn't really need any card draw other than Swashbuckler, but throw in draw two cards, and it just gets even better, so...
Yeah, with a body.
Yeah, don't forget about that. That's kind of a kind of a big deal. So knowing your turn to play is huge, but then also knowing when your opponent is trying to do that is huge, too. I mean, like you were saying, like, being able to know, is this the turn where I need to get aggressive, or is this the turn I need to make sure they can't set up for their game winner thing? Like every time I'm playing against a Tempo Rogue, turn seven, from that point on, I don't want them to have a board at all, because Bone Mare is a card.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to clear that board so that Bone Mare can't come down.
And if they can set up a play that I cannot clear their board, there's a good chance that they're winning that game, because even if they Bone Mare a little Flame Elemental, that thing is disastrous, especially with, you know, kind of a +4 attack charge in essence.
Yeah,
you know,
I think I was going to say my favorite's the deckhand.
Oh,
so
gosh,
I get to just on turn
that.
8 deckhand with my weapon out, and then, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I haven't played enough Tempo Rogue this month, honestly. I need to play some more of it. But all of my memories so far are bad ones of getting beaten by it, unfortunately. So
it's everywhere. I was going to tell you, if you keep talking dirty with Control Warlock with me, I'm going to just get aroused, because Control Warlock is one of my favorites.
Is it really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you just run into both of those everywhere, right? It's either Control Warlock or Tempo Rogue. It feels like Highlander Priest has kind of died off.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
Well, the thing is, Control Warlock is a perfect meta for Raza to come back, because if they can get that stuff out there, you're kind of hosed, you know. Now the question really is, with Control Warlock, are you talking the Q block with Doom Guards? Are you talking the new Control Warlock that's just like Void Lords and Rin, basically?
Anything I can play Defile in. Defile is one of my favorite cards. I was talking about this last night for our show. It is the most satisfying board wipe to play when you count and you're just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, this is a full board clear.
It.
And you just get to just wipe everything out with a perfect Defile. It just feels so good.
And what I've learned playing against it is that if they have three Void Walkers out, there's a really good chance that they can manipulate things such that Because you can hit this 2/2 minion, and you can ping this thing, and then you've got 1/2/3, and then whatever my board is just gone too. So it's, oh gosh.
I've used Mortal Coil to not draw just to set up a Perfect Defile. Oh,
and it is very satisfying when it happens, or when you are procuring the defilement, but when you are receiving it, it is.
Yeah, but the cube's good, and I've played a couple different versions of Control Warlock in this meta, but it's kind of a similar idea with what you were talking about with Bone Mare, where you can't really, that possessed lackey is terrifying on their side of the board, right?
Absolutely.
Because you can't leave it, and if you kill it and they have cube in hand, they get to cube whatever comes out of it, whether it's a Doomguard or a Void Daddy.
Doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter. And so that's a deck. I've been saying it for weeks. That's a deck that could cause us to go into some sort of double Spellbreaker meta, mm-hmm. Have Mass Dispel become more prevalent, and maybe even double Silence, obviously not in a Highlander list. Right. But Control Warlock in general is so strong, but Silence shuts it down real hard. Mm-hmm.
Well, in Silence and getting aggressive, like if you can just silence that Void Lord to kind of get a final push out the door, you know, like sometimes that's enough to make it through. But I mean, Cube doesn't need too many other turns or Control Warlock to really reestablish things pretty quickly. I mean, it just takes the Possessed Lackey and a Dark Pact, and hey, we're back to where we were. This sucks for me, not for you.
In some of these other lists, I've been trying to rack my brain and think about it, and a lot of these more aggro lists, like Warlock Zoo and Dragon Priest and Aggro Paladin, they kind of there's no real pivotal turn, I feel like, with them. Mm-hmm. I feel like they just you kind of have to deal with them early, because it's not like their advantage is, I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this. There's not a certain card, I feel like, that comes down where you're just like, oh, like with Highlander Priest, you know, we kind of touched on it with Raza on 5 or mm-hmm. Anduin on 8. Like right. those are very pivotal turns for that deck. With aggro decks, I don't know if they have that turn.
It really, like when I was putting down Face Hunter on here, I legitimately put down.
Oh yeah, that's another good one.
Isn't it every turn that's important for them? I mean, mm-hmm. they just want to, you know, damage, pressure. Like there's no. But then I started thinking about it. Well, turn 4, if they can get a Houndmaster onto and a beast, that's kind of defining that the game's over potentially at that point. You know. So there still can be those really key turns, I think, for them, but it is a little bit more, the game isn't necessarily dependent on that so much as it is the consistency of, I've got the right card at the right time to keep pressuring you into doing things that aren't really that helpful for you, so that I can just close out the game.
Yeah, I just thinking about Hunter, I mean, 5 is always horrific, because having 5 damage from Kill Command and 2 damage from Hero Power, mm-hmm. and because it was 5, there's a beast on the board. I mean, it's like a 10 damage swing on turn 5. It's just, it's scary.
Yeah. Or turn 6, where they're able to do the 10 damage from 2 Kill Commands, ugh. Regardless of what your board says. Like, that, you know, you may have set up the Void Lord at that point, and it don't matter no more. Like, you're gone.
I think I really appreciate, in general, the meta that, I mean, this is the first, I was talking about it before rotation, this is the first meta that Blizzard had a chance to craft. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to look at it from the ground up, because they came and had rotation happen with Old Gods, and they're like, here's the next meta that's, I'm sorry, not Old Gods, but with Un'Goro. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to look back, because I still think that Old Gods and Gadget Zan and Kara Zan are I think that we're going to see the intricacy and the work and effort that Blizzard puts into the standard metagame increase in quality, mm-hmm. When we have our next rotation, because this 2017 year was the first year that they were able to look at it and say, okay, look, we've got rotation now, mm-hmm. we can now create the kind of metagame we want to see, and even with those 2016 sets still in Standard, looking at these lists of these decks and these turns that we kind of put notes on, it's a testament to Blizzard that they created a meta that doesn't have a defining turn across every class deck. It keeps things interesting, and it doesn't... I mean, if we had turn four, like I was talking about with Magic, it would just feel so bad every game if you didn't have that turn four, or if your opponent did and you couldn't deal with it. So Blizzard's doing a really good job, and I still want to revisit this question in the future, and I especially when rotation happens, when whatever mysterious new set we get comes out.
Well, and really, like, the big exciting thing about those rotation sets to me, as was proven during our first one last year, is not so much the new cards that we get, but all the old cards that leave, because they clear up so much space for new stuff to get developed, because all of a sudden, we're not going to have patches at all. Dragon Priest is going to change because of that, Face Hunter is going to change because of that, Paladin's going to change, Tempo Rogue's gonna, like, so much is going to change just because of that one card.
Yeah.
Save all the other ones. I mean, Raza's no longer a thing. I'm trying to just split my brain with all things.
I think Highlander Priest dies unless there's more support for it.
No, without the Raza Anduin finisher, I mean, you don't...
And the only reason that it's Singleton is because of Raza and Kazakus.
Exactly. And those are gone, so
bites the dust. But Blizzard can do whatever they want with their next set. That's why I want to reemphasize, like, seeing what the new set's going to be is going to really give an indication of what kind of meta Blizzard likes. You know, do they like the Battlecruiser meta where everybody's dropping 8, 9, 10 mana minions and trying to win with these giant minions? Or do they prefer the really fast aggro where we had Face Hunter in its infancy with Undertaker and whatnot previously, which is obviously busted?
Right.
Or do they like the more mid-range game? Because I think it's impossible to completely balance and offer combo and tempo and aggro and control and mid-range in all equal aspects from set to set. But so there's going to be some sort of bias there from Blizzard with the cards they design. And I'm thrilled to see. I love what they did with 2017. Un'Goro, like you said, with the cards rotating, there's a phrase, it's like limitation breeds creativity, or something like that. It's not the right first word, but that's what happens. And Un'Goro was so fun and so powerful because we had such a limited card pool, and I can't wait to see that again.
It's going to be a good thing. And right now we're living in a time where the meta is really good. I mean, I will air my dirty laundry that I get frustrated when the meta is so diverse, because I don't feel like I can play consistently. Like, I will queue up my best deck and I'll go up against something that's exactly against it that I haven't seen in the past, like, 12 matches or something, you know. But the truth is that the far worse alternative is just what you mentioned, the Undertaker Hunter, where that was, you know, 60-70% of what everyone was playing. And every single time, you're going into the exact same deck, and you either win or you lose. And that's, like, there's just no fun in that, right? So, like, a meta right now where we've got aggressive decks that are doing really well, combo decks that are doing really well, control decks that are doing really well. I mean, I don't know that it's ever been this... And the whole past year, I feel like we've said that pretty often. There have been some blips on the radar, but... ever since Un'Goro was released, the meta has felt so good so frequently that I feel like Blizzard has really honed their game. And so, especially as we're looking forward for this next year and stuff, I think that things are only going to get better, honestly. I mean, they can make mistakes, sure, but I've got really high hopes based off of what we've seen in the most recent history to what's to come soon.
I agree. And because, I mean, if you look at Un'Goro as one... You know, we still have, you know, 0, -1, and -2 behind it with Gadget Zan, Karazhan, and Old Gods. So I'm really excited to see 1-6 all play together. And I personally, you know, because I mean, I'm not a whale, because I feel like a whale in Hearthstone is a lot of money. I've heard of people who spend $10,000 or whatever on this game. But I consider myself a whale. I mean, I probably spend... maybe close to $500 a year on Hearthstone, which is nothing from competitive Magic. That was like half the best Standard deck in Magic.
Right.
So I I'm a fan of the three expansions and no adventure, because I also really love what Blizzard is doing with the adventures inside of the expansions.
Yes, I'm really eager to see if we get another Dungeon-ish run, or who knows? They said they were going to do something with Frozen Throne, and then the very next set, they were like, let's do something way better. And then and who knows what's going to come next out of the kitty.
it's so perfect, too. As infuriating as it was for me to beat like 140 bosses with Warrior before I finally won a run mm-hmm. with it to get my card back. Looking back, it's so wonderful
How
for new
satisfying.
Players. And it's or just killing time if you don't want to hit ladder or whatever right. else. Like, they just crushed it on Dungeon Run.
Yeah.
They did such a good job.
I'm really excited to see what comes next from there. I haven't been able to dig in as deeply into it lately, but I'm not going to feel good until I take that candle. That's for sure.
You've got to take the candle.
I do. We've got several other archetypes here. Is there any that catches your eye that you want to talk about here, Spivey, too?
No, I think we really touched on all of them, and I was still trying. I would love nothing more than to definitively say the most important turn in Hearthstone is X.
Right.
But looking at this and thinking about it, and it's been on my mind all week, I can't answer that yet.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I can't. I mean, I want to, you know, solve the puzzle, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of diversity. I mean, we've got 7 out of 9 classes are tier 1, tier 2 right now, and mm-hmm. it's a great meta, and I can't definitively say which is better.
Right. I don't know. Did it feel differently in Magic, or did it feel like that was always something holding it back, that turn four was kind of the key thing for it?
I think that it was just a product of the metagame that was standard at the time that I played competitively. It was with Jace the Mind Sculptor, and there was there was a Bloodbraid Elf, but I can't remember the name of the faction that ran it. Bloodbraid Elf was nasty, so it was like you were either playing Bloodbraid Elf or you were playing Jace the Mind Sculptor, and they were both 4 mana. Hmm. And they just did gross, powerful things. Or, in my case, I think I was actually near the end of that rotation. I was playing both of them in the same deck.
Oh, which is even better, apparently.
So I couldn't speak to, it was just something that I thought about, and I can't speak to the Magic metagame anymore, because I kind of hung up my Magic boots.
Sure.
For probably forever.
You turned them in for a less expensive and more addictive. I don't know if it's more addictive.
I don't know, because I love having cards in my hand.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I miss. Or, like, opening a pack. Have you ever smelled a freshly opened Magic pack?
So,
oh, my God.
I was big into the Pokemon TCG when I was a kid, and I got a little bit into Magic. I played whatever the funny expansion was back in the day. I can't remember what that was.
Oh, Unhinged, Unglued?
Yeah, Unglued. That's it, yeah. So
I actually have an Uncube. Do you know what? Are you familiar with Cube in Magic?
No, I'm not.
So Cube, like if someone has a Cube, it's their collection of cards that they hand pick so that they could shuffle them up and give them to players around the table, like an 8-man draft. So you give each player like quote unquote 15 card packs and you draft this Cube and you create a deck and you play against each other. I have a Cube that's made completely out of uncards.
Wow.
So I have a full set with like extra commons and uncommons in my closet I'm pointing at right now that I can pull that out. And there's a new set that just came out. So that's the only Magic I'll probably be playing. I need to get unstable cards to fill out my cube.
Absolutely.
But we should definitely play that at some point.
Someday when we meet IRL. Let's make it happen, please. Because that was, and I think back to that Unglued set, and it's sort of like what Hearthstone is. You know, like there's some funniness to it. There's some randomness, some ridiculousness. So I think it was a precursor to what was to come with being totally into this game instead.
Yeah, there's one that's like, it gets +2/+2 if you're wearing jeans.
Oh, that's sick.
Or something like that. Like, it's just ridiculous stuff.
Now, with augmented reality becoming more and more prevalent, could we see a Hearthstone expansion that, like, scanned your clothing to see if you had jeans on to give you +2/+2?
I don't want that in my Hearthstone.
I'm just playing. I don't either. It's already silly enough. And
I don't want Blizzard finding out that no one wears pants while they play.
Accurate. Well, let's keep moving here then. We've got our community section, which is unfortunately pretty barren. Those are the tumbleweeds going through.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Exactly. I love it. So no questions this week. Be sure to get those into me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me at @AndrewsLiving with the hashtag for the show, and I'd be happy to read those and talk about whatever you guys are thinking. And no iTunes reviews this week either. Be like Zerocio, who last episode was wildly upset that he hadn't reviewed the show before. If you haven't done that, it takes about 5 minutes, and it helps the show a lot to be seen. So go into iTunes and please do that. That would be amazing. We alluded to an archetype before that has breathed new life from this certain card, but Spivey, I know that you've been just itching to introduce this card in a very specific way. So I would hate to rob you of that joy.
Oh, good. Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Shake your world.
Bum, bum,
shake
bum.
Your world.
What world are we shaking? Who's shaking my world?
You know it's Grumble.
You know it's Grumble. Tell us about Grumble. What's up with this card?
So Grumble's one of the cards that I opened up from my Kobold's packs when the expansion launched, and I kind of just instantly dismissed it because I was like, "Ew, Shaman." If 1600 dust, Chris and I have repeatedly just dumped on Shaman,
right,
like from the beginning of time, and we ate our words when it rose up and smacked us all across the face.
Mid-range, man. That bloodlust.
Mm-hmm. Even before that with Aggro Shaman, right?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
Tunnel Trog into Totem Golem.
I had suppressed those memories, but now I'm back. And I feel like I need counseling, but keep going.
No kidding. So I went back and, you know, because I needed to play Shaman for United Hearth League, or Hearthstone League, I was kind of trying to play around with other ideas. And, you know, the freezy Shaman list, that's a pre-constructed idea in the game, isn't too good. But I was like, you know, let's try out Elemental. And I realized I had Grumble. Grumble is actually insane. So, I mean, I know that there sounds this, when you read it, there seems like there's a lot of power there. And there is. But it is very situational. So Grumble's a 6-mana, 7/7, and it says, Battlecry, return your other minions to your hand. They cost 1. So the reason that's so strong is you get to play Fire Elementals and Blaze Callers. And so even just being able to hit with just one, let's just say one, we're not going to live in fairy tale Christmas land.
Right.
You've got one Blaze Caller down. He probably had to take out another minion on the other side of the board with his 5 damage, but you get to smack your opponent for 6 or cut down a taunt or whatever the case might be. You land Grumble, which is ahead of the curve because he's a 6-mana 7/7.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to play your Blaze Caller again if this was turn 7.
For one mana.
And I've been doing a lot of fun stuff with this. There's a couple other elementals that I've been playing around with. One decreases all of your elementals in your hand by 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that's really impressive is the one that makes your next battle cry happen twice.
The murmuring elemental, I think.
You'd be the expert on the names with this one because I have not spent much time playing with them.
Yeah, I forgot about Grumble that the minions in your hand cost 1. Like that's not insignificant, like at all.
It's just fun as heck. That's what it is.
And that's totally fair. If you're looking for a fun time, Grumble is definitely in your wheelhouse. But honestly, I mean, the fact that elemental decks have so many battle cries, I'm pretty sure we said this in our review, that like those battle cries are now just, you know, you're getting double the effectiveness. It's almost like a mini Bran that's, I don't know, more powerful? I think it's more powerful.
I think it's more powerful.
Why hasn't this been a big deal yet?
I think it will be come rotation.
There's just better stuff out there right now.
Yeah, I think discard's going to rise up and elementals are going to rise up. So, but I'm having a lot of fun. And I think there's some viability to Grumble in a tournament setting. So if any of my opponents, Andrew, are listening to this, you can expect that I might be playing Elemental Shaman.
What combats elemental shaman?
Everything. Literally everything.
I mean, it's not what. And this is the interesting thing about playing in a league. I mean, I've got plenty of buddies who play in the Team Hearth League, and you can find completely off kilter, off meta decks there that just take you so by surprise that they win with them because yeah. you don't know how to play against them, and there are certain combos that you've never seen before. So I feel like Grumble's perfect for that right now when nobody's looking for him, nobody's thinking about him. And you could just get some insane value if they're not smart enough to clear your board. And, I mean, worst case, you're getting a 6-mana 7-7 that furthers your elemental train the next turn. I mean, even just vanilla, it's fine, you know?
Mm-hmm. And if you have him early in your hand and he gets reduced, I had a game where he was reduced down to 4 mana because I had two of those reduction guys.
This is an even better 4-mana 7-7.
It's an even better version. I would not recommend crafting Grumble. Do not go out and craft Grumble. If you're interested in elementals and you haven't opened them, and you haven't opened them by the time the next set comes out, and it looks like elementals are getting support, maybe consider it. But my rule is always wait 2 weeks after a new set.
At least, yeah. But I did pull Grumble off of a pack, so he's just been... And I don't think I've played a single game with him, so he's just been... stumbling in the shadows waiting for me, and I don't know, man, it might be time to dust off the Grumble, shake the Grumble off the world,
get to that rank floor and play yourself some Grumble.
Yeah, I need to get
I'm just
first.
Denying poor kids going from 16 to 15 all day at the rank 15 floor
with your silly Grumbles. My goodness.
Not viable at 5.
Yeah, probably. But people play Milrogue up there, too, so, I mean, I think it's probably better than that.
Yeah, I've played against Milrogue with this. It chewed him up.
Nice. I like it. Well, man, as we are coming to the close of the show, I just want to thank you guys, the listeners, for being a part of this community. I mean, truly, I know I say it a lot, but you guys are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you. It's sustained by you. And there's so many great ways to support what we're doing. I want to ask you that if this is one of your favorite podcasts to listen to, or you listen every episode, just consider how you can support the show. The big way, of course, is still our Patreon. I've been so thankful for those of you who have jumped on there. This month, I've got to thank Philip B. and Jason S. for being our brand new patrons. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this. We are about $50 a month away from a huge goal, which is weekly episodes. So I know this is something that's been requested since this show began, and I would love to bust into that. I just need y'all's help to get there. So definitely go and check it out at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and see the great perks you can get. I've been having a lot of fun with the exclusive video content I'm creating for those guys over there. I've been talking a lot about what's changed from some archetypes that used to exist and are still in existence, but like which cards are different, how does it play differently, and so that's been really fun to dive into those, and you can get access to those for just $5 a month, so go check it out. And also, I'll have to give a huge thank you to Drunken Monk and Jordan L. for being producers of the Happy Hearthstone. It's been awesome talking with you guys a lot lately, too. Drunken Monk is, like, all into the Overwatch League right now, which I'm actually kind of hyped about. This is, like, a really big deal for esports. So it's going to be fun to see that happen. And
team are you? Are you rooting
for? So I know Monk is all...
Because I'm extremely excited, too.
He's all about the San Francisco Shock.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to root for my homeboys at Dallas Fuel, because that's where I'm from originally.
Nice.
I kind of want to see how things play out, though, because I don't know any strategies that I'm really for yet. And I certainly haven't dived as deep as others have. Who are you rooting for in that?
Well, if you go Fuel, you've got XQC on there, and he is one of my favorite tanks.
Is he for real? Okay.
Yeah, his stream can be a little bit intense, but his play is impeccable. Mm. I've got a root for the Boston Uprising.
Really?
I wanted a Washington team. I wanted an Arizona team.
Sure, yeah.
Because I'm from Arizona and I'm in Washington, but I didn't get lucky. And my AFC team would definitely be the Patriots. So I got to go with the Boston.
It makes sense then.
I hear they're underdogs.
Oh, are they? Okay, well, it's good to have an underdog.
I'm used to it. I'm a Cardinals fan.
There you go. but yeah, Drugget Monk and Jordan L., thank you guys so much for being huge supporters of the show. I feel your love every time. You guys are awesome. And as I said before, you guys can leave a review on iTunes. Huge way to help out the show. And stay connected. There's a million different ways to be connected. Our awesome Google Plus community, the YouTube channel, on Twitter, and email. You can find all of those links at our website, which is thehappyhearthstone.com. Pretty easy to remember. And also want to throw it out to you guys again. If you want to come and be on the show just like Spivey did, please just hit me up on Twitter through email and let me know. I'm always accepting people to come and be a part of this show, talk about a deck that you love, a question that you have that must be answered that we end up not answering after an hour of talking about it. Sorry, Spivey.
It happens.
I feel like I failed you, but
we theorized in the moment. We talked about it in the moment. We did not have an answer.
That's
going
right.
into this.
But I feel more confident in our understanding of the issue at hand. I guess that's probably better.
We'll revisit it.
But definitely hit me up if you'd like to come and be on the show. Always accepting people for that. So, Spivey, tell us how to stay connected with you through all of the interwebs and all of the podcasting that your glorious 20 minutes happen for.
Sure. You can find the show 1600 Dust on any of your popular podcast apps, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher. And if you don't want to have an app, we stream it from the website, 1600dust.com. If you are into video content, we have our fabulous streamer, Ziggy Sarah, who streams on Tuesdays and Thursday nights typically. She sometimes fits in another day during the week or another night, but you can catch her at twitch.tv/ZiggySarah. And we're partnered with Dad Legend, so if you're interested in buying any 1600 merch, we've got a couple shirts up there. They're excellent quality, reasonably priced, dadlegend.com/shop. And
Very
if
legend.
You like the things I say, follow me on Twitter at Spivr, S-P-Y-V-R-R.
You do tweet out some interesting hashtags as well. I know we've got a movement for showing chests every single month, but it's all Hearthstone and it's all clean and it's all good.
Oh, yeah. That thing is getting so out of control. Like, everybody loves it, and I love being a part of that. So if you open up your rewards at the end of the season on the first of the month, I usually check it for the first week of the month, take a screenshot. You can hit print screen on your keyboard, take a screenshot, and post it on Twitter and hashtag show me your chest, because it's really, really more fun than you would think that to see everyone else's rewards. Like, it sounds so mundane, but everybody loves it. The cards are usually gorgeous. We get to talk about whether this card's playable or that card's playable. So I'm really proud that show me your chest has kind of become its own thing.
It really has. Yeah. And I mean, golden animations are never a bad thing. You know, I've opened up some rewards where it's like, okay, I'm never going to play these, but man, they're pretty, and I will keep them. And hopefully there will be a Tavern Brawl that I can play one day where I get to, you know, show them off or an arena run or something.
Play your golden Blubber Baron like I've got.
Oh, no, that's not good. Actually,
I'm going to dust it.
No joke, man. I drafted an arena deck once that I had, like, literally, like, I was at card 20, and I had like 15 Battlecry cards, and my next option, it was like, well, I need to choose Blubber Baron. I'm silly if I don't. And I got an option for a second Blubber Baron, and I think I went like 5 wins with that deck or something, which isn't great, but man, the Blubber Baron had its day with me, no joke.
Don't make Blubber Baron a thing.
It will, man. Well, regardless of if that ever becomes a thing, I'm so thankful that this episode became a thing. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man, for sharing your thoughts, and thanks for everything you do for the community. I'm a huge listener and fan of 1600 Dust, so I'm just so thankful for you, man, for our friendship, and that we got to do this.
I'm glad we're a thing. I really appreciate it. This is a blast. Don't make me ever sing again. Don't make me sing ever again.
That will never happen, I promise. But I'm glad we got it for the one. And hey, guys, thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you guys next time.